You're listening to Two Rights Don't Make a Right,
where we'll give you our opinion,
but you better be ready to hear it.
Piri Jess is not only out to play, but she's out swinging and swinging at Brandon. Anyway, Knight was called by like 9:30 because I hit the fucking roof and yelled at Brandon and cried and vomited my guts up.
Thank God you're here. Where have you been, bitch?
Guess who's back in the house?
Welcome.
Thank you.
How was your holiday?
Holiday was great.
I want you to just kind of explain first, like, the chaos of the first part of the trip. Like, summarise in 150 words or less. Like, don't go on for too long.
Okay. Okay, my summary of the trip. So, me and Brandon, off to Bali. I don't know where this volcano came from because I've never heard of it. And so we slept at Chelsea, Brandon's sister's house, because she lives like 10 minutes from the airport. And we packed all our bags off to Chelsea's house. And my cousin messages me and goes, hopefully you can still get to Bali with this volcano. And I went, what volcano? What volcano are you talking about? Like, I had no inkling of this volcano. So I'm like, oh, whatever. Anyway, so we're like, oh shit, you know, we're with Jetstar, but it's okay. Like, I'm sure it'll be fine. We wake up in the morning, we've got the red eye. So alarm set for 4:20. Wake up, and Brandon's like always fucking with me. And we wake up and he goes, oh no. And I went, what? And he went, flight's cancelled. And I went, fuck off. And he goes,
it's just something that he would say to him.
And he's like, done that shit before. And then I'll like, look, and he'd be like, oh, just joking. So I was like, shut up. And he's like, no, Jess, seriously, like, flight's cancelled. And I was like, shut up, like, stop fucking with me. And he's like, no, look.
At 4:20 in the morning, so like, what a time to fuck with you.
I know. And then he shoves a phone in my face and the email literally says, from Jetstar, we are so sorry, but your flight's been cancelled. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, what do we do? And I'm like, have they said anything? Nope, there's nothing on there. They basically just cancel your flight and good luck.
Yeah.
Here you go. Find another flight.
Do other airlines do that as well? Like,
every single flight in the whole of Australia got cancelled to Bali.
Like, they all kind of like just said cancelled, figure it out. Or was that just a Jetstar?
Cannot confirm. Probably just a Jetstar. Okay. Anyway, so I said to Brandon, why don't we just go to the airport, because we're 10 minutes from the airport anyway. Let's just go there, see what they say. Okay, we get there, go to the lady at the desk. She goes, yeah, sorry, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
And I said, so when should we book it? Like, when is it going to clear? She goes, could be 2 hours, could be 2 weeks. Who knows? And I'm like, okay.
I'll take 2 weeks and you leave. So
so me and Brandon are about to throw the whole holiday in because we hadn't eaten. It's 4:30 in the morning. We're grumpy. We're like, oh my God. So we ended up coming back, got some breakfast, and then we decided, let's go to Darwin. Let's go halfway, because this is the logic behind it. Darwin's hot and humid. I wanted a hot holiday.
Yeah.
Never been to Darwin before. Darwin's also halfway to Bali.
Yeah.
So if we get to Darwin and the volcano clears, we can boop, straight up to Bali.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. And let me tell you, I'm not rushing back to Darwin anytime soon.
I have been there and honestly, I don't think I could ever go back. It's just, there's so much that can go wrong so quickly.
It was definitely an interesting place.
Yes.
And that's kind of all I have to say about Darwin itself.
Mm.
However, what we were like, let's just make the most of it. You know, we're staying at the casino. Like, happy hour cocktails. Mind you, happy hour cocktails is like $25 each. Like, fucking still fucking hell. Expensive.
Yeah. It's not Bali prices.
Two for $50.
Yeah. Because they're like, not filled with methanol.
Yeah, literally. They were really yummy. I got frozen pina coladas the whole time. So yum. Anyway, out we go. And who comes knocking? Piri Jess. Out to hang out with all of the Darwin locals. Piri Jess is not only out to play, but she's out swinging and swinging at Brandon. Anyway, Knight was called by like 9:30 because I hit the fucking roof and yelled at Brandon and cried and vomited my guts up.
And like, what a segue. Like, you were meant to be in Bali.
Mm.
Or not a segue.
Yeah.
Like, what a I don't know the word.
It was just, it got flipped on its head. And yeah. The prayers was, because if Bali couldn't happen, we were going to stay in Darwin.
Fuck. Imagine 2 weeks.
10 days. Sorry, off but. To
Crocodilus Cove or whatever it is.
We saw the jumping crocs and they didn't even jump. Oh, but I will say, they're pretty cool seeing up close. Are very they big? Scary. Fucking oh, they're massive.
Wow.
Scary. But I was just.
Why didn't
like,
they jump? They're not in the mood.
Not in the mood.
It's not like not you in could the ask mood. Them, but.
Wild animals.
Yeah. Tap it on the head.
Apex predators.
Yeah. Excuse me, can you jump?
And there was a guy, the guy that was running it was called Wild Man. And
fucking hell.
He was the most, it was actually really funny. He made the experience, but he was yelling out to the crocs like, come on, crockies, jump, 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 jump. And I was like, oh my God. They were like smacking the side of the boat. And I'm like,
this thing's about to tip.
Anyway, we far did out. End up getting to Bali. Thank Christ God. For that. We got there and Bali was amazing. However, I don't know why I was like peaking anxiety the whole time. Every single time I went to sleep thinking there was going to be a tsunami. I couldn't stop thinking about tsunamis. I don't know why, but I was like literally my heart was like palpitations. Is that what it's called? Yeah, heart palpitations. Yeah, yeah. TikToking tsunamis. I was Googling what happens if a tsunami happens in Bali. Which areas are high risk? Apparently, there's a siren that sounds for 15 minutes to evacuate.
Okay, cool.
And I'm like stressing. I don't know why. Anyway.
Imagine tsunami and a volcano. Nowhere to go.
And I think just because we had such bad luck leading into the trip, I'm like, there's going to be a tsunami. First tsunami in like 20 years. Anyway.
Hopefully, the volcano happens first so then the tsunami can put it out.
Well, the tsunami only happens. I watched a documentary. This is so off track, so boring for the listeners. Apologies. But I had to put my mind at ease and watch a documentary about tsunamis. Not that bad. Like, it yes, they're bad, natural disaster. Yeah, yeah. But I'm picturing 50-foot waves crashing
it's not
inland
like, yeah, no.
into the hotel. No, no, no. The 50-foot waves kind of start in the ocean and then just lots of water pushes through. Yeah. And yes, very sad. Like, lots of people died in the Boxing Day tsunamis.
Okay,
225,000. Deaths.
Right.
Anyway, but still, I'm like, oh, I reckon
you
I
should have watched
that
tsunami movie. That
I have. That's
in
what
Bali.
Gives me the fear of tsunamis. Yeah,
that was wild. That was big waves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what gave me the false picture of tsunamis.
Okay.
Anyway, no tsunami. I'm back. No Bali belly. No nothing. Yep. Brought home a little bit of a Bali flu, but that's fine. But
cool.
Otherwise, it was a great holiday.
Well, so glad to have you back. I'm glad you're well rested.
Thanks. I'm not stuck in Darwin with the locals.
The locals and the crocs.
Locals and the crocs. Yeah. I Great. Will. Can I quickly just go back to Darwin?
Why not?
On the night that I was like paralytic.
I was getting updates on Snapchat and I could tell that it was like going downhill. Like,
and I had
quickly.
My hero pants on. Like I was sculling my drinks and telling Brandon like, oh, I'm fucking drinking way more than you. Oh, keep up, blah, blah, blah. And Brandon was like, this is not good. This is not going well. Brandon left me to go to the bathroom and I'm sitting there. You know, cross-eyed on the fucking
head banging each side of the cubicle.
And I hear from behind me. So we're sitting, I'm sitting on this table that's like kind of outside.
Mm.
I hear from behind me, hey, sister! And I'm like, what the? And I turn around and it's one of the locals in Darwin because they're not allowed in the pubs after nighttime. It's just a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I turn around and go, hi. And he goes, what's your name? And I said, my name's Jess. And I shook his hand and he's like, oh, I'm John. I said, nice to meet you, John. I'm having a chat with him. And he's obviously...
Fucking cross-eyed.
He's obviously... I'm trying to be like as nice as possible, blah, blah. Brandon comes out. I said, Brandon, this is John. And he's like, what the fuck is going on? John's on the other side of the fence. The security guard standing there staring at him. And he's shaking Brandon's head, not letting it go. And he goes to me, tell me a story. Tell me a story. And I said, all right, I'll tell you a story. We were supposed to be in Bali. And I start telling him the story yapping. Of the volcano. He doesn't care because what he wants to do is to seem like he's with us so he can come in the pub. And the security guard said, go away, John. Leave them alone. And he goes, no, no, no. We're just having a chat. Just having a chat. And then me and Brandon are like, let's go somewhere else. And he goes, all right, guys. And he grabs us. He goes, which pub are we going to next? And goes to skip away with us. And the security guard grabbed him and goes, John, leave them alone. You're not getting in the pub.
I love that he knows the first name basis.
He had a blind eye as well, one blind eye.
Oh, my God. As in, was it like a glass eye?
No, it was just a murky our blind eye. And we, as soon as he like let go of Brandon's hand, we fucking legged it. And security guard's like, "You're not getting in. Leave them alone." And he's like, "Come on, like, let me in." reminds me of me when I'm in the armor.
Messaging the security guard.
"Come on, man, let me in.
Please let me in. It's my birthday."
"I'll get my dad onto you." Anyway, my God. That's my amazing. It was very manic, and for that reason I've got PTSD from Darwin, and I did not get drunk once in Bali. And I haven't been drunk since.
Great.
Bit of a
What a sobering moment for
it
you.
It was a very sobering moment. One of those. I'll remember it forever. I'd apologize to Brandon profusely the next day. I was so hungover as well. Terrible, Muriel. Terrible. Anyway.
And I'm pretty sure it was a weeknight too. Like, it wasn't even a weekend.
Wednesday. It was a Wednesday.
Fucking hell. Wow.
Anyway, over to you.
Well,
so I'm deaf's not apt.
That would have been great. I would have loved to have seen that on a mid-season trailer sure. That coming up. Great. Well, not much has happened with me since you've been gone. I feel like bit borzo until this week. I feel like I just had a rapid mental decline.
Yeah.
And if cameras were on me, they'd be like, something's wrong.
Agreed.
And I still haven't really figured it out, but we're just pushing through and I'm ignoring it. So
I almost didn't even know what to respond to you in your messages this week. Yeah. And I just kind of let you go with it, and then
sometimes I just need to be left alone.
Yeah, and then if I didn't respond, or if I just responded ha ha ha, ha, then you're like, "Oh, I'm in control. I'm fine. I love my life.
It's all good. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's fine.
Good to know. Good to know."
So I don't know if we're teetering on the edge or something's brewing. Or something's brewing down deep inside. But
watch this space.
Time will tell.
Manic episode incoming. Yeah.
Silly season. I wouldn't say either renewed or axed, but it's definitely
watchers would be concerned.
Yeah. Any news with Housewives this week? Have you seen anything that you've...
I have not seen anything. I did see a meme, but I would like to wait because it's got something to do with the Beverly Hills episode.
Okay, great.
And it's just a nice little summary on old mate PK.
Okay, great. Well, actually, I don't really have much for you either, to be honest. Like, I've just seen that a few little articles and TikToks saying that apparently Dorit's house is in foreclosure. Like, broke.
It's foreclosure. Oh.
Going up for sale. Like, has to
Dorit
be
sold. And PK's
yeah.
house?
But from what I know, they rent that house.
Mm.
So, I think it's the owner that's going
to foreclosure. Tenants kicking him out.
Been there.
Oh, must be nice.
Been there.
Relatable.
And apparently Mary's house has gone into foreclosure as well.
Oh, no. Yeah. The Dr. Seuss house.
Yeah. I mean, I can kind of see why. Yeah, because we'll get into it when we see her in the episode.
Yes.
But because you weren't here for last week, what are your overall thoughts of Beverly Hills so far?
Love. I definitely think they are in for the redemption season because the last, I'm going to say, two seasons have been fucking bozo.
Yeah, terrible.
I don't even think I finished the last season because I was like, it's just shit. And it sucks when it's on at the same time as Salt Lake. And Salt Lake's just peaking.
Yeah.
However, this first episode, now the second episode, but just like bull out of gate, so good. I love Bose. I think she's
a really good
addition.
Yeah, I find her really authentic.
And so successful.
Yeah.
Like, you go.
Yeah.
Love that. I really hate, and we said this before, even in the preseason trailer, I hate how they're kind of turning Sutton into the main housewife. Mm. Like that's the person. And even the way they're editing her and producing her now is different to how they did at the start. However, I will say, hate Sutton, but she is probably the best she's ever looked.
I agree. I think she looks the best she's ever looked.
The cut scenes of her and the bits and pieces.
The longer hair on her looks a lot better.
She looks a bit more polished. She doesn't look as like...
clapped out.
Yeah. And also, so what's the word I'm looking for?
She just looked a bit...
But she's so hoity-toity and like, you know, what's that word when they're like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am.
Southern.
Southern. Doesn't look like a Southern belle. She's just like...
How do I get that word out of that accent?
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Well, you got it.
Yeah.
She looks a bit more polished and she looks like her skin looks nicer. She just looks nicer. Still hate her though.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's so annoying. I just don't think I'll ever get around to her.
Never have, never will.
No, at all.
Kyle also looks incred this season.
Yeah. I think they all look really good.
They do.
I do have actually, so I thought the first episode was amazing. Mm. So funny. Seems like there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But that being said, so last week Jack said that he doesn't really think that this drama's real.
Is real. Yeah, I listened to that and I kind of agree with it.
And you know what? I am starting to... This episode felt so strange to me.
Yeah, it was very produced.
Very produced. So even when... Like, and even it's just the overall editing of the show. Like, it feels so different to all of the other seasons. It feels like I'm watching, like, Selling Sunset season 23.
They are trying to have that final redemption because they know Beverly Hills is coming to a crux.
Yeah.
Like, they know it. And when... This is what I mean by when Salt Lake, the drama that they have, but it still seems so authentic and real.
Yeah.
Even though, okay, it's probably not. Like, some of it is probably not.
We all know
but
that these shows are produced.
But the way they do it, it just seems so, like, good, like, so easy
natural.
To watch.
Yeah.
And that's what I always feel like they're going to turn out like is what this new Beverly Hills season is. It's like they're going to keep trying to meet that drama level and it's going to be, okay, well, this is obviously overproduced. That's what Beverly Hills is turning into.
I agree.
But it is still, like... I'm just glad to see some drama and to just get the fuck off like Maurizio and Kyle being the main storyline.
Yeah, yeah. I do think, because even when you look down to like the foundation of why Kyle and Dorit are fighting, I'm like, that's fucking nothing. Like,
oh, on that talk show when
both
Dorit...
making a mound out of a...
A mountain out of a molehill.
Mountain?
Mountain?
Mountain out of a molehill. Yes. And
Manton?
I just don't think, and like, I think they both have an understanding of like, okay, we need to amplify this.
And it's almost like, okay, what's happened that we can make our fight? And that's the only thing that's really happened.
And it's not really like, Dorit seems like I've never seen her this activated before. Yeah. I feel like this is their last attempt to be like, okay, let's really try to get renewed.
Agreed.
Also, Crystal... Remember Crystal?
She
asked. She said on a podcast recently, the reason why she didn't get asked back was because producers called her and said, we have a storyline for you for this season. This is the route that you need to go down. Mm. And she said, no, I don't agree with that. I don't want to do that. So that she didn't get asked back.
Of that.
So I really do think that.
Yeah, they do.
They're really, obviously, that's no secret either, but I feel like they're really clutching at straws to keep this cast alive.
You and I predicted that, though, to say that if they can't make this season, like, go, then this will be the last of this cast.
I mean, I'm still going to watch it. I'll still enjoy it. 100%. I'll take it for what it is. But even just, like, some of the editing of, like, you know, when Kathy, Sutton and Erica all went to
Kyle's house? Yeah, to make pizzas.
One, I don't believe they surprised her. There was a film crew already in Kyle's house filming her, and I don't believe that they were just cooking dinner with her daughter just to have, like, that's boring. Like, they're not going to film that.
Yeah.
As much as I want to believe Kathy saying that she's an Amazon worker.
Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Kyle's like, not letting someone into her house at 8 o'clock. A random Amazon driver. Yeah. Like, no, that's not real. Also,
agreed.
I find the PK and Dorit thing not believable either.
No, I agree.
Like, I watched that at the end and I was like, what's with the dramatic slow-mo entrance? It feels like Kardashians in a way.
Yeah.
And that's why I liked Beverly Hills because it was so different to the Kardashians.
Yeah.
But now it just feels like a produced combination of the Kardashians and Selling Sunset.
I agree. Onto the episode as well. My biggest surprise was, like, it is no news that we hate Sutton and I don't agree with, like, anything that Sutton says. However, the conversation that she had with Kyle in this week's episode where they're sitting across from each other and they're chatting about, like, how Sutton thinks Kyle needs to file. I am 100% on Sutton's side because Kyle thinking the agency's 50% hers, everything's 50% hers because Maurizio said in his biography that I wouldn't be able to do this without my wife, Kyle. That is not enough evidence. Yeah. And no matter how amazing your relationship is and was, when a split happens and when there's big money involved, you need to, like, you need to protect yourself. You can't just assume that Maurizio is always going to give that 50-50. You guys are split now. What happens if that agency fucking goes boom even bigger? He's not going to give you half.
No.
And she is stupid for thinking that his bloody little blurb in his book is going to do that for her.
Yeah, yeah. I almost, there's still a part of me inside that doesn't believe that they're really split up.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I definitely believe it. Only because of him.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's done.
I don't know. If he was done, I don't think he would be filming. Like, he's still filming scenes with PK. He's still filming scenes with Kyle. Like, I just think that this is... I don't know. I just have this weird feeling. Now that I've seen how produced this season is, I'm like, well, I don't know. They haven't officially filed. I don't know. I just have a weird feeling that it's still not all real. I don't believe it all.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Weird. The only thing that I really... Actually, the part that I did think was authentic in this episode was Kathy saying how much she hates Maurizio.
Yeah.
That, I was like, I believe that.
Also because big sister vibes as well. Yeah. Like, even though all the drama that, you know, Kyle and Kathy have had in their life, Kathy is that protective big sister. Yeah. And that's her priority.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle's her priority. Yeah.
And even her just saying, okay, time to move on.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you know, she really doesn't like him.
Yeah.
I agree. I believe that.
Yeah. I didn't have too many takes on this week's episode, neither. To be honest.
I was just watching it really confused.
Yeah, it was a nice one to put on, but do you know what? I actually watched it in three parts because I had a couple of days off this week because I wasn't well. I started watching it and then in about 20 minutes, I paused it and went and did something else. And then I put it back on later on that day and then I paused it and did something else. And then I watched the PK and Dorit scene at the end. So I was engaged, but I wasn't like Salt Lake City this week where you're kind of sitting at that TV and watching.
When I put Salt Lake on, I was like, I noticed myself grinning and smiling. I actually went through four seasons of emotions while watching that.
Yeah, it was a very rollercoaster episode. The only other, like, I feel like we don't even have to go into the Dorit and PK stuff because it's just...
It's boring. It's not believable.
I fucking hate them as well. They're not a couple that I'm like, oh no, they're broken up. Like, whatever.
And him saying, oh, this is single PK.
Yeah. What? Oh, shut up. No, he's a gross pig. However, I did think it was hilarious when Erica and Dorit went to Bose's house and she made them take their shoes off and put slippers on.
They were shook. They were not expecting that.
Oh, I know. And that even her funny. House is like... What is with these housewives having the kookiest houses? Like,
I did like her outdoor area though.
Yeah, that was really beautiful. Nice. Yeah. But it's so maximalist. I mean, rich coming from me. Most maximalist house ever. But I will say, yeah, that was hilarious. And like, slay to you, Bose, because
I love her story as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think her story is really sad, obviously losing her husband.
Yeah.
So many years ago, but she's built herself up to be so successful.
I almost feel like she's one of the most successful housewives. Like single marketing female Netflix, housewife.
Was it Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix.
Yeah, huge.
Huge. She has certainly built, like, she's very, very successful. Yeah.
I'm interested to see where she's going to lay in the dynamics of the group.
Yeah, who she's going to buddy up with.
Yeah. It looks like Dorit to begin with, but no one really ever sticks with Dorit.
Nah. Yeah, I'm interested in that. And it better fucking not be Sutton. It better not be.
Should be the reason why I stopped watching this show.
100%. And did you also notice that in the intro, I don't know if you and Jack spoke about this, all of them are standing.
Yes.
Diamonds in front.
So I remember you mentioned that not long ago. And I think the way how they do all of the new franchises now is all in front. Oh, they're all, they're not kind of close together.
Yeah.
But they all hold the diamond in front, or whatever it is in front of them.
Yeah.
I think that's so they can edit them to be in different positions.
Yeah.
So then whoever's on the middle,
you
know, no one knows who's going to be in the middle until like it comes out.
Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, Beverly Hills is like that. Salt Lake's like that. Orange County. Interesting.
Very interesting.
I don't like the way how it looks though. They
I don't
look
either.
A bit too spaced
it
out.
It does. Yeah. I prefer it when they're a big group. Like, you know, they look like they're more cohesive.
Yeah. You can tell that it's all been done separately. Like none of them did that together.
Yeah. Any other takes on Beverly Hills?
No, I think my main take was I'm kind of excited to see more about Bose.
Yeah.
I don't care about Sutton's friend.
I don't.
I've forgotten her name. Yeah. I don't care about her.
Yeah.
She's just another version of Sutton.
Yes.
That I don't think is going to bring much.
And she was kind of rude at the surrealism party.
Yeah.
Like, she was kind of like giving rude banter, but that you'd give to your friends, but she's not friends with these girls
yeah.
yet.
Yeah.
So I was like, try hard.
A little bit too strong.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I just hope that the production calms down a little bit. Like, it just seems too much.
Agreed.
They're overcompensating.
Yeah. Salt Lake, I will say, this episode, the start of it when I put it on, I had to go out of it because the previously on Salt Lake City wigged me out because it was old parts of the season. Like, it was Meredith saying she wants to do my mitzvah, and then it was the Harley Davidson Museum, and I was like, hold on, like, have I accidentally put on, like, episode 8 or something?
Yeah.
And I had to go out of it and go back into it, and it was, it just flashed back to, like, earlier bits in the season.
Now, like, officially after the mid-season trailer, like, it kind of recaps on the first half of the season.
Yeah.
Don't know. I wasn't watching that.
Anyway, wigged me out. Biggest takeout from the episode is just Lisa's very obvious quote from this season. It's just, it's her her quote. She says it every single fucking episode of this stage. Is, don't lie.
Oh.
I reckon she said it like 5 times this episode. We should do a fucking drinking game. And every time she says don't lie, I have to take a shot. I'd be plastered because she says it.
Hospitalized.
10 times an episode.
Be like don't Darwin lie. All over again.
Yeah. Let's not then. Yeah. Let's invite John.
God, no. Yeah. Johnny boy, what are you up to?
Johnny, I'll bring you in. Grove tab.
So one part that stood out to me was when Meredith was at the art gallery. She looks stunning.
Yeah, she did.
She looks like the Facetune filter that she uses.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what she's doing, but she looked stunning.
Yeah, she did look stunning. Her and Mary were not ready to hash anything out.
No one was backing down.
That was the most hilarious 1 minute interaction. And the fact that Mary made her wait 40 minutes and then rocks up, they hash it out, have at least like micro argument, and then they end it. And I'm like,
oh. And Meredith just continues to walk around the art gallery. I'm like, you have like, got nothing else to see. You've been
the
there.
The world's smallest art gallery. There's like 8 pieces of artwork in there. And she's just circling.
Still wandering around with a glass of champagne.
Can I help you find anything? No, I'm waiting for a friend.
Oh, not terrible.
So funny. Yeah, I thought that was literally like grand opening, grand closing. Like Mary just walks in and walks straight out.
Yeah.
They were not ready.
No.
Feelings were hurt still.
Yeah. And like confusing. Like I don't understand why both of them are that offended. Like
I don't know why they're arguing that to that point.
Yeah.
There is a big miscommunication on, I think, Meredith's behalf. Yes. A big miscommunication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like when they were having that argument at breakfast at Mary's, Mary said, you can leave if you're not going to shut up. And then she just got embarrassed and was like, I'm going
to
leave.
Yeah. And it's funny because when you listen to that, Mary goes, Angie, like, you can. And then Angie keeps talking. She goes, Meredith.
Yeah.
Angie, like,
it was
stop.
Directed to both of them.
And then she finally, when she said, Meredith, if you're not going to stop, you can leave. But she was saying it to Angie as well, but they just kept cutting her off.
Yeah.
But I can see how, because if you don't listen to that, and they would have only been listening to what she's saying to them, I can see how it would have said, Meredith, all right, you can leave.
Yeah.
But yes, she absolutely did not say that. And she was trying to mediate that so well.
Yeah, she was.
Stop.
Weirdly enough, she's been mediating a lot of weird things this season.
Hold like, hands just, and pray.
Yeah. She is, I never would have thought she'd be the peacemaker.
In this. You are all over the shop today. Oh,
sorry, my words.
Peacemaker. Can I Spock?
Can I Spock?
That is you. I thought it was a really nice moment with Angie and Lisa this episode.
I think they made up too quick.
Angie really?
Caved.
Yeah, I thought it was quickly. I thought it was a nice ep, and I will say Lisa looked fucking smoking in that ep with her green fluffy jacket. Her face and her hair just looked like perfection.
Yeah.
She looked really good.
I think Angie looked great too. It was just like, I don't know. I just feel like Angie caved a little bit too much. Lisa should have taken a little bit more accountability.
Lisa and accountability is nothing.
That's true. I'm trying to think of what they were actually fighting about now.
Well, they were fighting about the miscommunication of them saying that the other person was a bad mom.
That's right. And Angie kind of did implicate that.
Yes.
So maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So Angie did implicate. Because fine. Lisa didn't really. She just brought up her daughter in an argument and Angie went fucking through the roof.
Yeah.
But Angie is the one that said, well, you know, I wouldn't let my fucking child be gaming it. That is a bit of a dig. That is a dig at Lisa's parenting.
Yes.
But whatever.
I stand down on that comment.
Actually, that makes me think Bronwyn made a really good comment later on in the episode, but it kind of relates to all of this as well, because she said when you've got a group of friends, if you're in a, there's always going to be gossip and everyone's always going to gossip and talk about each other. And if you're in a good spot with that person, then it's funny, it's gossip, you know, it's just harmless. But if you're not okay with that person, that exact same talk, you're going to get offended and stuff by it. And that's exactly what happened between those two.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, and if those comments were said in any other time, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal.
And but Heather kind of agreed with that as well. She was like,
Heather, even though Heather says she doesn't trust Bronwyn and stuff and not sure about it, I can see them possibly forming a bit of a truce and a connection.
Yeah, I think eventually.
Eventually.
They're not at each other's throats as much this
especially
episode.
Especially as last episode where Heather was just calming straight for Bronwyn, like a fucking bull out of a cage. It's the second time I've used that reference in this episode.
Bronwyn did kind of put her foot in it a little bit at
the treaty thing.
Yeah. Yes, I was like, oh, that was messy of you.
Agreed. She was very messy in that. And she was throwing people under the bus that were like her friends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Bronwyn, you got to be careful because you're actually, I love her and she has been treading on toes, which I love her for. But then she started throwing like Angie under the bus and throwing Whitney under the bus. And I was like, ooh.
These two are on your side.
Exactly. And I was like, ooh, I don't know if I like that because she did get a little bit messy by the end.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're going to end up walking out with no one. Mm. Like, stop. Mm-hmm. Because also, as bad as it is to say, these girls have known each other for a lot longer.
Yeah.
And they will band together. Yeah. Even if they're fighting. 100%. They will.
Yeah.
If they have a common enemy, you don't want it to be you.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was, but weird. So Bronwyn gets up and storms off in that, whatever that park thing was. Yeah. And Whitney goes after her to comfort her. I'm like, you just threw Whitney under the bus.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wow. And you know what I think as well is, like, you know how she threw Whitney under the bus to Heather and said that, you know, oh, well, Whitney said this about you. And Heather was like, yeah, that's cool. That's chill. Like, whatever. If anyone but Bronwyn brought that to Heather, she would have been like, fuck you, Whitney. Why'd you say that?
Yeah.
But just the pure fact that Bronwyn said it, Heather, you could almost see her swallow her pride a little bit and go, that's fine. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
she didn't want to add any fuel to that
either. She didn't want to give Bronwyn that satisfaction of knowing she'd angered her. She's like, nah, me and Whitney are fine. We always talk about each other like that.
Yeah.
You could see though deep down, she's like, fuck you. Yeah. But yeah, she...
you're the target next season, Whitney. Which I reckon, I saw a TikTok, I reckon she will be. Because it looks like Mary and Lisa have made up.
Yeah. And for next season?
Yeah.
It's not even fun for this season.
There's this TikTok, I can't remember her account, but she was saying, I need to watch that show that is like...
Yeah, the After Hours one. Yeah.
But it was Angie and Mary that were talking about that episode. And Mary had mentioned that her and Lisa have had like a big catch up and they're all good now.
Oh, interesting. So Mary and Lisa went for each other in this episode.
Yeah.
Like Mary's kind of came out of nowhere. Like I was shocked by that because Mary suddenly just went full vicious on Lisa when Mary called Lisa a dingbat. That was my favorite. Like they were just like, that's my favorite thing about the Salt Lake City is they'll just throw out a name. Like they'll name call each other. And they
It's something you haven't heard in years.
Dingbat.
Yeah.
Like at the end of their argument and Mary just had to get that last word in by going dingbat. And I was like, oh my God, I love it.
Actually, one part that I thought was hilarious was when Bronwyn and Angie started kind of going back and forth. And then Angie said,
I know exactly what you're going to say. Why didn't you put Meredith's hearing aids? And Meredith is like, I'm actually so upset. How dare we make fun of people's disabilities and impairments?
Angie backtracking saying, I didn't say that. Oh my God. So funny. Oh, we're making fun of impairments now.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then she just held on to that. Like she would not stop talking about that. That is so funny.
More ammunition.
Angie, as soon as those words came out of her mouth, she was like, uh-oh.
Fuck's sake. That's not going to land. And it didn't. A swing and a miss.
It's so funny. Flop.
So we've skipped forward a little bit. I was so happy to see Mary's bedroom again.
Yeah.
Her packing.
Trashed.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely
so I've noted some things down that I saw.
Excellent.
So I don't even know how she gets around this bedroom. There is shit everywhere. She has this huge bed that literally you'd have to jump to
it's
get
like a super,
up to.
Super
get,
king.
It's yeah, but it's so high, like it's above like your belly button. It's almost to like the bottom of her boobs. Like I don't know how you get into that bed physically. I saw 3 boxes of tissues, 2 on the bed, 1 on the counter, and both with tissues coming out of it, like they're all in use.
Still giving my house.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's got one of those chase things that is in front of
the
her bed, covered in clothes, makeup,
boxes,
cleaning products.
Yeah.
It looks like an episode of Hoarders.
Yeah.
And then I also saw her bedsides have plastic storage containers with what looks like makeup or like little crystals in them. Like actual plastic.
Like from Temu.
Yes. And they're full to the brim. And then it pans to her bathroom and you can see around her whole bedroom, she's got like, you know, that glam style, like the mirrored, like tall boys and mirrored bedside tables. She's got them scattered everywhere, full to the brim on top with like all random products. Her bathroom is cleaning products, shampoos, but like I don't know how she uses it. It's not like you can tell none of it's like dirty.
Yeah.
It's just clutter.
There's clutter
everywhere you look. I don't know how she has so much shit in her bedroom, but even when you go to Robert's bedroom, like a couple episodes before with his wife in bed, he had a fucking air fryer in there. An air fryer. Who has an air fryer
in
their
bedroom?
Anyway, to
back to Mary. Sticking on the topic of Mary.
Yeah.
I am.
Are we talking about the last scene?
Yeah.
That was shocking.
I am so relieved that Mary has had this breakthrough with Robert Jr.
Yeah.
Because it has just been the conversation I have been hanging for her to finally have with him. Because this whole season, I've been like wanting to reach through the screen and be like, Mary, why are you tiptoeing around this? Like there's something wrong. And I'm in no place to judge because you don't know obviously how you deal with a child that's obviously got an addiction to something. But, and I didn't by any means think she was palming it off because she knew, but I just don't think she was ready to deal with it and have that conversation and face that reality. And also she needed to get him on his own as well, like without his partner there. And I'm so relieved that he broke his walls down and he obviously saw how much he was affecting his mum and just her even saying like, you're the only thing that makes me happy. You're the only thing that I live for. Oh my fucking God. Like
it was just so like, I think it was so shocking to watch from the start because she obviously went into his room. He is acting really bizarre.
Yeah.
And then he tells her that he's on Xanax.
He took
and then
his Xanax.
Something else.
Yeah.
And then it like, he so openly saying that and that he mixes all of these drugs.
And then he said he started when he was took his first Xanax at 16.
And, I'm like,
and then
this
he took
is
a Xanax with something else. And then he took it with a Molly. And then he had it with cocaine. And then he had it with acid. Like
I was so shocked to see him actually admit that. Like that was heavy.
And then he said he was on the oxys as well. And he said that he would take 10 oxys at once and wouldn't feel anything.
That's
and
fucked.
That is just so sad because that, and we've, I swear, every single episode Robert's in it, we've spoken about him and what we think his addictions are. And we both have said Scrippies, like Scrippies 100%. And
but
that's
then
exactly
mixing it with like coke and
and that
else.
Is
acid.
Exactly that. If he does not get onto this and turn his life around, which I hope he does, that's a one-way ticket to heroin and stuff. Like that's how people get addicted to heroin and smack and everything. And that would just be so, so sad. But I think that breakthrough moment, the crying and the, I really hope that was enough for him to, you know.
I think he finally, because at the start, it literally looked like he was, there was nothing
not
behind
there.
The eyes.
Yeah,
like
there
was
no
just,
one's home.
Yeah. And that is just something that I feel like you don't see on like housewife shows.
Yeah.
That it was reminding me of like early Beverly Hills where they were all kind of going through it. Like all of this really intense stuff was happening,
like
real
Taylor
stuff.
Armstrong stuff
that.
And everything. Yeah, yeah.
And we don't really see like this
raw
authentic,
vulnerable,
like shocking stuff.
Yeah.
Very sad.
It is very sad. And I truly hope, and I loved seeing that side of Mary. Like I loved seeing Mary so vulnerable, even though that's horrible to love watching her like that, but it was nice to see
But you never
see
saw
a housewife.
That from her previously.
And it was nice to see, I actually really liked, I think it was actually Brittany, as fucking out of anyone, that actually is the one that said, hey, like, maybe there's something going on with Mary. Mm. Like, maybe that's why she's acting out and lashing out. Has anyone actually checked in on her?
Mm.
For Brittany to say that, I was like, whoa, because so mature and smart of her to say that, because that she is lashing out extra amounts to the point where it's almost abnormal.
Mm.
And it's very easy to people for people to go, fuck Mary, she's a bitch. She's, you know, I'm done with her. Her behavior is so weird right now. And for Brittany to say, well, there might be a reason why her behavior is so weird. And Brittany doesn't know, because Mary and Brittany fucking are not friends. Like,
literally.
So she doesn't actually know what's going on, but she's smart enough to say, hey, maybe you guys should actually ask her if there's anything going on.
Yeah.
Which I think was amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's so true. And so it's very easy to not see that side of your friends, because you take things so personally sometimes about me or why they're treating me that way. And
yeah.
For someone else to kind of come in and say, hey, well, maybe there's something going on with them. I just think, go you, Brittany.
I forgot about Brittany until then. Fuck, she is back with Jared.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, my God. After she said she was dating 10 guys. And she goes, oh, gets angry at people for coming for her, yeah. But she literally says the dumbest shit.
Yeah. Literally. Like,
I don't understand her.
I did, in that whole conversation that started then, I just thought this whole soaking and docking was so funny. Because you know what? I've been on Mormon TikTok before. Like,
I thought you were going to laugh. I've soaked done that and docked. Before.
Do you know what? Me and Brandon soak all the time. I have been on Mormon TikTok because for some reason my algorithm takes me to, like, those Mormon colleges, and people like interview Mormon students and they say, would you rather kill a puppy or drink alcohol? Would you rather
I'm not on this side of TikTok.
Yeah, and they interview like full college people and they like, oh, would you, and they're like, ooh, like that's a really hard one, because that's how hectic they are in their faith. I love it. I was like obsessed with watching these interviews because I was like, oh my that's God, wild. Would you, and they're like, they'd be like, what's your favorite party drink? And they're like, oh, like Kool-Aid, like, you know, oh shit like that.
Losers.
So funny. I love it. But they spoke about soaking. I didn't know about docking. I thought docking was when two penises touched.
That's what I thought that was too. But that's fucking.
How does that happen? Like, they just touch?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't think about it because it does make me feel a bit queasy.
I might Google it.
Yeah. Don't report back because I don't want to know.
Okay. I might Google it right now. Anyway, but soaking though, I did know about soaking, and I had actually thought Heather did clear it up a little bit later, because I did know that soaking was obviously when they like penetrate the vagina, but then they don't move and they just sit there. First of all, I'd be like, get the fuck out of me. Gross. And wouldn't you go soft? If you're just sitting in it. I mean, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. And like, what do you do? Do you just like...
Yeah. Docking sex meaning.
Well, why don't you look docking Mormon?
No, because here we go.
Oh, I don't really want to know. Is it what
we are right about the penises touching?
No, I don't want to hear it.
Docking is a sexual practice of men who have sex with men, in which one man stretches his foreskin over the glands of another man. Here's a photo for you.
I don't want to say... It's only a cartoon, but fucking hell.
Oh my God.
I thought that's what it was.
No, but I thought they just touched. I didn't realize they stretched their foreskin. Oh, there's a real photo.
I don't want to see it. Why don't you look up docking Mormon?
Okay, hold on. Docking Mormon meaning. It's just engaging in intimate physical contact without any form of movement. So that's same as soaking. Loophole called docking. Yeah, same. It's the same thing as soaking. They just insert their penis into a vagina and leave it there. Anyway, even though Heather said it's not real, but these college students said that it is real, is when they will get someone to rock the bed.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, so Heather said, oh, I think that's a myth, but all these TikToks that I've watched say that they'll get one of their friends to come in and, like, it'll be like they'll be on the top bunk and they'll get their friend to, like, imagine me asking you, hey, can you fucking come rock the bunk for me and Brandon? How awkward. Oh, and there would be barely any movement, so, like, it wouldn't even feel good.
No.
Weird.
Yuck.
Anyway. I do think that's hilarious, though. Mormons intrigue me so much.
Yeah, that's why this show is so good.
Yeah,
Did you ever watch Mormon?
Yeah, I did. I didn't finish it, though.
No, I didn't finish it either.
But yeah, they are very interesting. Mm. I find their whole religion, the things they stand for, the things they do, the missions, everything. Yeah, no, they're Jehovah's Witness. Anyway.
Yeah.
Joho's.
Yeah. Joho's. J-Ho.
J-Ho. Anyway, also, Melly.
I was just about to say, but yeah. Still did fucking nothing.
Didn't even know she was there until like halfway through the Kumbaya stuff. I was like, oh, there she is.
But then contributed nothing.
And I only knew it because it came up and said Melly.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Thanks for telling us because we wouldn't have
what
known.
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Not involved in any of this.
Yeah. Great episode, though.
It was a great episode.
Good highs and lows.
Highs and lows. And I love that it ended with the substance abuse hotline and no spill into next week. Yeah. I thought it was a really nice ending. I thought it would have been distasteful if they ended with that and then went, next week, aren't. Yeah. I think that just made it feel more raw and authentic.
Yeah, I agree.
Do they have the same producers?
No, so I think every show has different set producers. Of producers.
It's just all Bravo producers. Though.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what the fuck has happened. Yeah, Beverly Hills. Because I think that's what also Beverly Hills is missing too, because there's not much going on. They're having to pick at these random little things to make drama. It's hard to... I think they're so big and they're so famous now. Mm. They're at the point where they don't want to show those really authentic
and
parts.
And do you think they're also getting older?
Yeah.
Like, the Salt Lake City girls are still, like, in, like, the Beverly Hills prime days.
They're in their golden era.
They're in a different age bracket. They've got different lifestyles, different life events that are happening. Like, they're that messy being... still. Beverly Hills aren't really messy anymore.
No. Mm. They're too scared to be messy.
Yeah. And you know what? I would as well. Yeah. They've been doing this for so long. I'm like, all right.
I don't want to watch them axe the show and completely renew it. I just want to see them bring the OGs back just so then they can have what they used to have.
I'm keen for Camille to make an appearance whenever that is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excited.
But yeah, great eps this week.
Okay. Now, I've got a couple rapid fires for you.
Cool. I don't have any rapid fires, but I do have one question. Okay. Sorry, I didn't prep any rapid fires. Mm. But I do have a question for you.
Mm.
And only because, like, it's just relevant all the time and I wanted to know what yours is. Is which housewife's quote just lives rent-free in your head all the time?
You know, they'll actually... One that I've been saying in my head all week is when Lisa Rinna said to Kim Richards, why don't we talk about your arrest? That's been in my head all week, randomly.
Really?
Yeah. Most are probably Lisa Rinna ones. Like, just her reading out the Munchausen thing on the phone.
What is Munchausen?
Also, Rinna... asking to rate if people are doing coke in her bathroom.
Yeah.
Iconic. I always think about that.
Yeah.
Another
good written one is, you were so angry to Denise.
Yep. And another one would be, has to be Amsterdam, where she's like, I've had enough of you, you beast.
Yeah.
Beast.
How dare you? Yeah, love that.
What about yours?
Mine.
Mine are all Rinna related.
They are,
yeah.
I've got one from Salt Lake City, one from Beverly Hills, one from New York. I didn't even mean to do that. But these three are probably the ones that stick out for me. Mm-hmm. First one is the main one. And it just, I'm always saying it in my head. I actually was saying it in my head in Darwin all the time. I don't know why. Security.
Yeah.
Merited.
Yeah.
Security. Like that one, always. Yeah. And it's just the slur of security.
Especially because the security was around.
Yes,
you.
Exactly. So all the time I was like, security.
John, security.
Security. So that one, always. I love it. From the iconic episode last season. Me and you always say this one, so I'm shocked that it's not in your list, but me and you always, how could you do this to me? Question mark, Luann.
Yes.
On her bloody Siri,
talk
to text. Because every single time we are talk to texting or doing anything, it's like, question mark, how could you do this
And the raspy voice, like she's like hungover, like she's like distraught, crying.
Don't tell me it's about Tom.
It's about Tom. Terrible. So hectic. So manic. Oh, that's great.
Just imagine, like, they are just rotten hungover all the time and then having to deal with the repercussions.
They're ones that always, I don't know why they got rid of them. They're the ones that will always put themselves to shame if
always,
they need to.
Always. Especially Ramona.
Yeah.
And Sonia. And the other one that I thought so funny, I actually forgot about this one, but it, always comes up for me is last season Beverly Hills.
I've got one.
Okay.
This is one that I actually remembered before when you had asked me this, like,
what?
This week. Who is Hunky Dory?
Yes! Who is Hunky Dory? And everything just goes boom.
They all look at each other like, oh, time and place.
Mine is Denise. Thank you. You're welcome. Which is Paro as, and she said,
conversations
thank you.
With herself.
Having a conversation with herself. Thank you. You're welcome. To herself.
Is this upside down?
No, it's not. I know what you were trying to do. That was my favourite Denise.
That was probably the peak of last season.
Yeah.
That was the best.
Yeah. That Denise, obviously her like Housewives journey has been random as, yeah. But that was my favourite Denise moment out of the whole Housewives franchise because, oh my God, she was so... So, so messy that night.
Yeah.
And yes, and she was like, she looked like she was having a fucking stroke.
And then having an argument with Erica and she's like, no, I'm right. She's like, you're not right. I'm right. No, I'm right.
I'm right.
And they're both going back and forth. Oh my God.
Manic. But yes, they're mine.
Okay, great. I've got a couple rapid fires for you. Mm-hmm. So if you were casted for...
Cast.
Hey?
Isn't it cast?
Whatever, casted, whatever, for a Real Housewives show, what city would you want to be on? Quickly.
I'd be on Melbourne.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm putting it out to the...
Yeah, to the universe. Yeah. Would I want to be on or would I be on?
Basically the same thing.
No.
Okay, well, give me both of those answers then.
Okay, so I think if you just go with my straight up personality, I'm Melbourne.
Okay, yeah.
Because I feel like they're more bogan than the Sydney ones.
Yeah,
I'd fit in better with them, mm-hmm. as in going straight into it. I would want to be on Beverly Hills.
Yeah, okay.
More, because just their lifestyles are more extravagant.
Yeah, yeah.
You?
I want to say Melbourne, but I think I'm more Sydney.
Yes, I agree.
I think I could, like, I think it would be real fun to be with Chrissy Marsh.
Yeah, you're much more of a Sydney
and
boy.
I think I'm more of a Sydney, like, I would enjoy the city more.
I'm a bit more grungy, like, a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sydney, I feel a lot happier there, I reckon.
Yeah.
A little bit more glitz and glam.
Yeah.
But if it's in terms of, like, what ones I'd want to be on in, like...
The whole saga, the whole universe.
I want to say Beverly Hills, but at the same time, I just feel like Beverly Hills has, like, this real dark, like, it's all for show. I feel like there's a lot of, like, dirtiness in Beverly
Bloody
Hills.
Bloody oath, yeah.
So, I think, and this is random because you don't watch this one, but I think I'd like Orange County.
Okay.
Because it's so beachy, it's tropical.
Yeah.
It kind of has that, like... More beach vibe to it, but still rich.
Mm.
So, yeah, they're mine.
Love.
Whose Ozempic era has slapped harder, Erica's or Heather's? Even though Erica denies that she's on Ozempic.
That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I'm going to say Heather.
Okay.
Yeah, because I noticed Heather's more this season and went, wow, she looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Erica has kind of been more of a slower... Wow, she looks good, like, as the seasons have gone on.
I don't know. I think she looked really rough with the divorce season. And
as
then
she fucking
the
would.
Season after, she came back.
Yeah, yeah.
Fully cinched.
Yeah. No, I'm still going to say Heather.
Okay,
I'm going
to say
Erica.
Because
she was a bit of a pig.
I'm going to say...
Rough, but true.
I'm going to say Erica because I think she... has hit her Ozempic era, but then stayed consistent and really good with it ever since.
Yeah.
I think Heather's filler can look a bit fucked sometimes if she's got the wrong angle on it.
Yeah. Yeah. The tox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one. You're stuck in an elevator for 6 hours. Who are you choosing? Sutton, but she's saying name him every 30 seconds, or Mary, who's consistently praying out loud
Mary.
For the whole 6 hours.
Easy, Mary.
Really?
Yeah, with the praying.
Okay.
Give me the praying.
Yeah.
I'd punch Sutton in the face.
Especially it'd be silent, then she'd say name him, and then it'd be silent, name him.
She could just stand there in silence, and I could not stand her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be around her. I don't like her energy. I don't like her And Mary, I think that'd be a hilarious story to tell, that she was just crying for 6 hours straight.
Yeah. At least you
And I'd join in on it. All right, come on. Because you know what? I don't want to die right now. So let's get to the
let's
Lord.
Let's pray, girl. Let's pray. Let's hold hands.
Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I'd probably say the same. I can't stand Sutton.
Yeah. I don't even want to be stuck with Sutton for like 5 minutes. I don't even know what it is about her. I can't
She's
even
She's so unlikable. Like, I just find her to be inauthentic.
Her personality
is terrible. Like, I just don't find her entertaining to watch at all. Yeah,
agreed.
Well, that's pretty much it.
Great.
Welcome back, officially.
It's great to be back.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you the same time next week when we've got two more episodes to recap on.
Excellento.
Have a great weekend.
Shall see you then. You too. Bye.